Doesn't always seem like it because TriMet is, it's huge. It's a large organization, but it's our system, ultimately. Yes. That's how they're funded. That's how they're supposed to run. And I want people to always know that they have a voice.
Yes.
Even, you know, do the petition. Go to TriMet.org. Find your board member. Find out when all of your meetings are that you may be interested in. The Transit Equity Advisory Committee is actually meeting today. The meetings are all open to the public. So if you want to drop by, that'd be great.
Love that. Thank you so much, Nicole Phillips, Orlando Lopez, Batista. I really, really appreciate you both being here. I appreciate the work that you're doing in our community to make it better. And it's so wonderful to see you, Orlando. I remember when you were just a young buck learning to be an organizer, and now here you are. Yeah. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. Yeah. See you guys next week. Same time, same place, same station. Have a fabulous day.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Hey, Jenna here from the show Pacific Underground, the radio show that explores the Asian and Pacific Islander experience in America. We're looking for producers and writers to join our team. So we're inviting those who identify as Asian or Pacific Islander to attend a Pacific Underground information meeting on Wednesday, April 26th at 7 p.m. at KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue at Burnside. More information can be found at www.pacificunderground.org or on our Facebook at PAC Underground.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me with a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I am going to talk about propaganda, counter-propaganda, leaks, and the state of journalism in dissent under American fascism. And at the bottom of the hour, Per Fargering will call in with his commentary on the assassination of Martin Luther King. First, a couple of items of good news from NIO's article in Mother Jones. Fox News announced it is parting ways with its embattled host, Bill O'Reilly. After a thorough and careful review of the allegations, this is a quote, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Bill O'Reilly will not be returning to the Fox News channel, end quote. The decision Wednesday, she writes, follows an explosive New York Times investigation earlier this month that revealed O'Reilly and Fox News paid nearly $13 million to settle multiple sexual harassment allegations during his career at the cable news network. The report drove more than 50 companies to pull advertising from the O'Reilly Factor, the top-rated show in its prime time slot. Protests outside Fox News headquarters in Manhattan, those would be protests against O'Reilly, are said also to have been a factor in the decision to sever ties with O'Reilly. Another quote by Rating Standards, Bill O'Reilly is one of the most accomplished TV personalities in the history of cable news. In fact, his success by any measure is indisputable. Fox News has demonstrated again and again the strength of its talent bench. We have full confidence that the network will continue to be a powerhouse in cable news, end quote. Now, isn't that just exactly what you would expect Fox News to say about Bill O'Reilly? Hey, Fox News! You could put a GoPro on a serial killer and get top ratings. But would it be right? Oh no, I said that out loud. Now they'll do it. The question is his content crap? And of course, that question scarcely needs to be asked. According to New York's Gabriel Sherman, this is continuing with Anaya O's article in Mother Jones, who has written extensively about Fox News, the decision to cut ties with O'Reilly also stemmed from the Murdoch family's desire to take over the European broadcaster Sky with Ofcom, the independent British media regulator, reportedly examining whether the company was fit and proper enough to own Sky. The O'Reilly scandal is said to have been seen as an obstacle in convincing regulation officials about the ethical standards of 21st century Fox. Oh, really? Continuing with the article, as cable news top-rated host, O'Reilly wielded an incredible level of clout during his tenure at Fox News, with his views widely regarded as influential and making or breaking conservative candidates. The company stood by him during previous controversies, many of which included charges of sexual harassment and making racially insensitive remarks. And there's more on that article. I'll just read the last bit. It says, Mother Jones previously reported on O'Reilly's questionable account of his own reporting during the Falklands War. Evidence showed he repeatedly embellished his wartime correspondence record to give the appearance he had experienced combat. Later in his career, O'Reilly would invoke this dramatic and apparently flawed narrative to assert his authority on the subject of war. So, speaking for myself, O'Reilly had a relationship to the truth, which was the approximate equivalent of his relationship to women. Bye-bye, Bill O'Reilly. Don't let the screen door hit you where the good Lord split you. Now, continuing with good news, Chelsea Manning is coming home. Chelsea Manning, of course, the whistleblower who exposed the brutal murder of a cameraman and some kids by a U.S. helicopter who was just having a bang-up time using his weaponry. And Chelsea got sentenced to 35 years for that. From the GoFundMe site, Welcome Home Chelsea. Chelsea Manning is a 29-year-old transgender woman. She is a transparency activist, guardian, columnist, whistleblower, and she is our close friend and family member for the past 7 years. Chelsea has been incarcerated. She survived solitary confinement, systematic denial of health care, and years of being separated from her friends and community. And speaking for myself, and that's what you get for telling the truth in the United States of War. Returning to the article on Chelsea Manning's GoFundMe site, Welcome Home Chelsea, it says, through it all, she has remained a steadfast voice for liberty and justice and an inspiration to so many. We now have a chance to show our appreciation for all that she has given us. Following the commutation of her 35-year sentence, Chelsea will head home to Maryland on May 17th, 2017, less than a month from now. And we, her closest friends and family, are raising money to meet her survival needs. And there's much more text on that site, which you can find for yourself if you like. Now, with less good news, as you may know, reports last week came out that the U.S. was sending the USS Carl Vinson strike group into the area of the Korean Peninsula, and that turned out to be false. And it took in everyone. It took in the South China Morning Post, the New York Times, Democracy Now! Took me in. And it turned out to be false, not because some unreliable foreign or commercial source was used, but rather because the Trump administration chose to use war propaganda directly against the U.S. press and thus against the American people in the world. The Pentagon, Sean Spicer, is now saying that they're deploying the strike group to Korea. But their credibility is shot, so I would like to emphasize that since China and Russia have satellite services, and since the North Koreans, of course, vigilantly watch their own coast, they do have binoculars, there was no chance that the misdirection, the disinformatia, if you will, was directed against them. U.S. reporters and commentators, myself included, must now understand that all announcements, no matter how basic or obvious, from the Pentagon are now suspect at best. I passed on that false information in good faith, but I will learn from my ways and remember in all further efforts to inform this audience that the Trump administration has demonstrated that it is the enemy of the American people. I will try to vet all such statements from the American war machine with press reports from non-imperial, non-fascist nations. My apologies. KBOO, maintains a podcast. And you can hear this show or any show by going to the KBOO website. My favorite way of doing it, for no particular reason, just happens to be that I started off doing it this way, is I will go to the KBOO.fm website, and then I will click the schedule, and then I'll find whatever show on whatever day, and I often check my own show. And that's how I do it. And I was on the KBOO News on Tuesday and did a story about a radioactive hotspot that I found. And I'm going to repeat it here because, well, for two reasons. One, I really think this needs to get out. And secondly, the as there was a glitch and you can't get it on the website. So here's the story. On a hunch, knowing that Bakken oil was being sent into the ARC Logistics oil storage facility in Northwest Portland near Kittredge Avenue, Front and Kittredge, approximately. It's a little past that. I decided to go and check the radioactivity levels there with my shiny new Geiger counter. I'd gotten a new one after mine went on the fritz. And before I did that, I checked radiation levels here at KBOO, as I always do, and they're what you'd expect, around 31 millisieverts per hour. And so I knew the machine worked. And I was going out to that area because, first, I know that Bakken oil is radioactive. Second, I know that it's going into ARC Logistics. And third, I could see on the Google aerial map that there is a curve in the rail line there where the siting goes into ARC Logistics, and I could get access to a place where those oil tankers go without actually having to go into the ARC Logistics facility. I did try to get into ARC Logistics, actually, and can't say it was surprising that I was turned away by a security guard with mirrored glasses. I'll respect that, I told him. So I went over to the curve in the rail line where I figured if there's a leak, any little leak in the tankers, and a big tanker often has a little leak just because of connections, it was likely to slosh off. And I put my Geiger counter down there and was really quite shocked. The whole area actually is pretty hot. When I got out of the car, the readings jumped to 60 millisieverts. And did I say becquerels before? I may have misspoken. Millisieverts is what I was talking about. And when I went up to, I found various hot readings right on a sidewalk. I found nearly 200. I think it was about 185 millisieverts per hour reading. And that was pretty steady. But when I went to the rail, siding, I picked up 576 millisieverts. The thing was flashing like mad. It was very steady. So since the thing averages, I wanted to make sure that I didn't just get, you know, a hot rising reading. So I stood there rather nervously for more than a minute, wondering what it was doing to my hand, and held it down, and there it was, 576. And used the function on the machine to sort of take a picture of that. And that's significant because that is a nasty bit of radiation. Now, I doubt that it actually hurt me, but I will say that I cleaned my shoes and my hands after I came back. And that's enough to be hazardous to the health. I mean, I imagine there are several such hotspots in the area. That's enough to be hazardous to the health of people in the area. And as I mentioned, the whole area seems to have an elevated radiation reading. So I'll be back later to check that again with someone else, so I can get some backup on that, so I can double check, second opinion, as you will. But I'm quite certain that I am correct when I tell you that the soil is hot, dangerously so, outside the ARC Logistics crude oil, and that's just another reason why we need to leave that crap in the ground. Time is 9:13. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. There's an article in commondreams.org about the WikiLeaks, the latest WikiLeaks frou-frou, and they say WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange responded to CIA Director Mike Pompeo's characterization of WikiLeaks as a hostile non-state intelligence agency and other remarks in an interview with journalist Jeremy Scahill, released Wednesday on Scahill's Intercepted podcast. And speaking for myself, pull up theintercept.org. to find that. And Common Dreams writes, although he said he quite liked the phrase Pompeo used, Assange said the CIA director betrayed his lack of leadership, his lack of leadership skills, and spoke outside the bounds of his role when he declared that the whistleblowing organization had launched an assault on the First Amendment after it published a trove of intelligence documents that exposed yet more mass surveillance programs and plans to circumvent privacy apps such as Signal and WhatsApp. Pompeo's speech last week at the Washington, D.C. think tank Center for Strategic and International Studies, quote, put the CIA in a position where they look like they are frightened and worried that we were the better intelligence service, end quote. That's from Assange speaking with Scahill from the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he has lived in asylum since 2012. He said CIA directors should have gravitas, not engage in pompous name-calling. That's not what intelligence services should be about, end quote. So there's more on that article. As I was saying, it is at theintercept.org. Time is 9:15, and I invite your calls and comments. I want to talk about U.S. imperialism. I want to talk about the fact that speaking morally and economically, and for the sake of the defense of the planet, and most certainly including the climate of the planet, we need to shut down the Pentagon. And I've been saying that for 30 years. I've always meant it. But now we have this additional, well, let's just say petroleum-based reason to do that. The Pentagon is simply the largest polluter on the planet. You can put a period at the end of that sentence. That is correct. And we need to shut them down for many more reasons than that, not least the fact that we have a jackass demagogue of a president who is threatening the Russians. The Russians who, I would say, at this point, Russian government might be feeling a little cornered. There are historic reasons for that. They have 2% of the world's gross domestic product. The United States has 27% of the gross domestic product. They have thousands of nuclear weapons, and the United States has thousands of nuclear weapons. And they are being encroached upon, they are being threatened, they are being demeaned, they are being blamed. And one of the people blaming them seems to be Rachel Maddow, who is definitely on a tear about the Russians. And I won't say that her accusations are entirely incorrect. It may be that the Russians are too friendly with Trump and that they mucked around with the election. However, there are other things Rachel Maddow could be covering. I think that what she is doing is tactical. She has decided to attack Trump in this way. I'd like to talk about war imperialism, threatening nuclear war. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Sam is on the air. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
So, I've been listening to you talk about a general strike, and I've been really frustrated because I'm old and I'm retired.
Okay.
But I thought, what doing if I stop paying my taxes?
That's one method. That's a tried and true method of resistance, and there are tax resistors organizations in town.
Yeah, I need to get myself educated on that, but I just had the idea that that's one thing that I could do to advance the cause.
Well, I won't say no. That is definitely one way to do it, and I think that you need to publicize it when you do. There is another general strike coming up, nationally organized on May 1st. Actually, I have a little text on that, and I'll get to it a little bit later, but just to give you a heads up. It is centered on immigrant rights, and thousands across the nation have already signed up. It's going to be another day without immigrants. So if you want your asphalt poured and your sheetrock put up on May 1st, you can forget it. But it also provides a good basis for the fact that May 1st has traditionally been a focus for attempts at general strike. And I think we may have more momentum towards that sort of thing now than ever before.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I want to talk about imperialism. I want to talk about the threat to the Pentagon and the oil industries that are associated with it, and the banking industries that's associated with it. And that is not a slur against Jews, as some people in the audience will feel. we'll talk about the need to shut that down. And, you know, getting from here to there starts with talking about what's actually happening. And I was talking about the CIA speaking against WikiLeaks and really speaking against anyone who would dissent by leaking information. And as Julian Assange pointed out when he was talking to Glenn Greenwald, the CIA is known for what? For what? They engage in espionage, they do analysis, they assassinate people, they start little wars. I don't know if he said all that exactly that way, but he did say it's quite a menacing statement that he does need to clarify. So we can talk about that. But before I get to imperialism, I should mention that there's some rumblings in Washington against the legalization of marijuana, as we have in Oregon and Washington. This from Vera Bergengren at McClatchy. It was printed in the Sacramento Bee. 2 days after downplaying the role of marijuana in the nation's drug war, Department of Homeland Security John Kelly changed course on Tuesday of this week, calling marijuana a potentially dangerous gateway drug, and saying his agency would continue to arrest and investigate those who traded it in violation of federal law. The quote is, "Let me be clear about marijuana. It is a potentially dangerous gateway drug that frequently leads to the use of harder drugs. Its use and possession is against federal law, and until that law is changed by the United States Congress, we at DHS, along with the rest of the federal government, are sworn to uphold all the laws that are on the books," end quote. Marijuana advocates who are watching closely to determine whether the Trump administration will deal a blow to state-level legalization efforts decried the comments, saying Kelly was defying science and taking a hard line on pot. 8 states, Alaska, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington, and the District of Columbia have legalized recreational marijuana in some form, and another 20 permit the sale of pot for medicinal purposes. And the article goes on to quote some scientists. Pointing out that no, marijuana isn't a gateway drug. They write, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer caused a stir in February when he implied that the Justice Department might begin to crack down on recreational marijuana use in states that have already legalized it, and seemed to connect it to the opioid crisis. There was a quote in Washington Times of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, the Attorney General, saying, I realize this may be an unfashionable belief in a time of growing tolerance of drug use, but too many lives are at stake to worry about being fashionable. I reject the idea that America will be a better place if marijuana is sold in every corner store. I think medical marijuana has been hyped maybe too much, end quote. And Sessions continued at one point, saying pot is only slightly less awful than heroin. He said, federal law is not eviscerated because the state ceases to enforce it in that state. So I'm telling you this to give you a heads up. There is smoke in Washington and there may be fire. Now back to imperialism. Exxon is applying for a waiver from the U.S. Treasury Department to bypass U.S. sanctions against Russia and resume offshore drilling in the Black Sea with the Russian oil company Rosneft, according to the Wall Street Journal. Yesterday, among those charged with deciding to grant the permit is Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of Exxon, who previously oversaw the company's Russia operations. Rachel Maddow tweeted in response, "Ka-ching, payout time." Exxon was previously granted a permit to bypass the sanctions in 2014. Tillerson has said he would recuse himself from Russia-related matters for 2 years as Secretary of State. The permit application also comes as calls grow for a government shutdown over the ties between Trump advisors and Russian officials. The FBI is currently investigating the Trump campaign's Russia connections. And beyond Trump campaign's apparent Russia ties and the implications of Tillerson's potential role in granting his former company the permit, environmentalists also pointed out the devastating climate impacts of further drilling in the Black Sea. And you can find more on that at commondreams.org. And that dovetails with what I was saying about the need to shut it all down. I mean, we need to stop destroying the atmosphere with petroleum. And it certainly can be done now. And what we are seeing is a last-ditch effort by the petroleum companies to protect profits by forcing through policy to the point of the Koch brothers through their various card shuffle games. pardon me. Enacting laws to tax people for having solar panels, to force a fee on solar panels, and doubtless other various underhanded things. But the fact is, solar and wind now is on a track to and is surpassing petroleum and coal and nuclear in terms of economic viability. It's cheaper to have solar and wind. And as battery storage improves and improves, that'll become more true. People have graphed that out. People who have nothing to do with left-wing political considerations, people who simply want to know where to invest, have determined that this is the way of the future. And so the oil companies would like to keep the United States mired in the past, the oh-so-profitable past. That's what's going on right now. And that's the sort of thing I mean when I say that we have to stop billionaires. We have to stop billionaires from existing. And by that, I do not mean that we should cut off their heads. What I mean is that we should limit their wealth. We should take away their toys since they have killed so many people with them, and limit wealth at a few million dollars. Imagine wealth being limited to a few million dollars, and whoever had that much money would be living in a country that had free medical care, free education, kindergarten to graduate school, a clean environment. Wouldn't that be nice? And what million? There's no millionaire, there's no billionaire that gets that now. There's no billionaire that's safe as they would be if we limited the distribution of wealth. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. The USA, according to Defense Secretary Mad Dog Mattis, is about to take a major step towards direct intervention in support of the Saudi Arabia war on the Yemeni people. According to Jeffrey St. Clair, editor of Counterpunch, the war has already seen 90,000 Saudi airstrikes on Yemen, or one every 12 minutes, 123 a day for 2 years now. With direct U.S. military involvement, it will only get worse, because the USA has been limiting its involvement to fueling, arming, and target selection for the Saudi military. The UN and the international media claim only 12,000 or so deaths in Yemen, but this just doesn't add up. If there have been 90,000 airstrikes, that means only one Yemeni is killed for every 8 strikes. They must take us for idiots, or more likely, just too ignorant and brainwashed to know better. That's writing by Thomas Mountain in Counterpunch.org. The title of the article is U.S. Moves Towards Major Intervention in Yemen, and David is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a bit of an echo on this side, so if I start stuttering, you'll know why.
As you will.
I wanted to put my two bits in there. I'm 61 years old. I started out being a creative musician, son of a father jazz pianist, and traveled extensively and had an opportunity to meet a lot of people, many of whom were insiders, kind of letting down the mask to let the young guy know what it's all about and how it all works. And it gave me an early education into what we're really up against here is not entities like the Pentagon and government, but the people who own and control them. And that's beyond billionaire and other strata of ideological labeling. If every culture protected their inventors, like guys like Tesla, whom our infrastructure depends on, the electrical grid, and realized that they proved free energy was available and distributable in a non-centralized way, we would have abundant wealth and it would be equitable.
Prove it.
And non-pollutive.
Prove it.
But people need to protect those folks from the status quo power brokers that
Where's your proof of that statement?
Oh, go to the internet. It's out there. It's been out there for a long time. But my point is this. Until we take our personal power back at a level that we can access, instead of attacking a big dog that will crush us, we will be further distracted, as we have been, from the method that is available to us.
I thank you for your opinion. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. At the 1893 World Fair in Chicago, there was an exhibition. There were several exhibitions that showed what they called primitive peoples. And some of these exhibitions actually had people who were kidnapped from Africa. And some of them had people who were pretending to be persons who had arrived from various non-industrial states. And the point and the purpose of these exhibitions was white supremacy. The point and the purpose of these exhibitions was to say, look, you and I living in the United States, you know, with our steam power and electrical generation, are superior to these backwards people who know nothing. And to drive home the point that it was about white supremacy and not just about culture or technology, there was a day in which black people were invited and allowed to attend the Chicago 1893 World Fair, and it was a trap. They were ridiculed, mocked, chased around, insulted. This is a powerful cultural symbol which set the tone as U.S. imperialism later in 1898 began to expand wildly into those lesser countries with lesser people, and the white people wanted to show their superiority by slaughtering them. And we, the white people, are still doing it, and we, the white people, are still enforcing these ideas with our police and with our imperialism. When you get right down to it, that's what's going on. That's who we are, you and I as white people. I realize I'm broadcasting to a lot of people who are not white, but I want to be clear who I'm talking to when I say that. And it'll just keep going on that way, and we will have imperialism. And it's not down to whether Tesla got a break. It's down to, are we willing to confront our crimes as a culture? And as the white race believing itself superior, which just put Trump into power, and yes, it was about race, the analyses are in. It wasn't nearly as much about economics.